Good morning, and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you. The better, take it slowly with a good attitude. Oh, and pray that these words we are saying will bring joy and happiness to someone.
As always, I like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday as we consciously come into our Sunday Soul community to deepen in our awareness, our connection, our communion with the secret, the ground of our being, God in us as us. And as promised, we are going to begin the series based on Napoleon Hill's book, seminal classic, Think and Grow Rich. And richness is not just about pounds, shillings, and pence, or dollars and cents. Richness is a consciousness. To have a rich belief, a rich attitude, isn't just about the money in the bank. When you can cultivate that attitude of richness, you forego the belief in scarcity. You can give generously. You can donate of yourself, your time, your resources fearlessly. So as we do this series over the next week, always, I believe, as the universe provides me with the inspiration and ideas, and the universe always knows what we need and when we need it. On Friday night, I was having my women's group, my reminder session, and the conversations that flowed that evening was something that each and everyone present needed to hear. And I said, this is what happens when you dwell in the one mind, the infinite intelligence that is everywhere present. We are all thinking into that one mind, and it knows what we need. And so the conversation that flowed was what we all needed to hear to support us on our journey. And so I believe every week when I am given the subject, the Spirit knows what we need wherever we are. And so as we begin this new series, the first chapter in Napoleon Hill's book, and if you haven't read it or you read it a long time ago, I would invite you to reread. His first point in his book is desire. He believes that before you can have anything or attract anything, you have to have the desire for it. It's the starting point for any and all achievement. But often we run into the roadblocks because we might have a desire, But then we get the ego stepping in saying, well, yeah, you've got that desire, but how on earth would you ever achieve it? Or sometimes we may not even know what it is we desire. What is it that we want? And it, or we might have several, and we don't even know which one to begin with. But always you have to focus the energy on one thing. It's dissipated if you are trying to do too many. One, it is challenging enough for most of us to maintain our focus on a single affirmation or a single intention, much less than if you dilute it by having two, three, four, five. So, Emerson once expressed it as there is nothing capricious in nature, and the implanting of a desire indicates that its gratification is in the constitution of the creature that feels it. In other words, you would not have the desire unless you were capable of achieving it. Many, many, many moons ago, I came across a quote that said, desire of the heart is God tapping at the door of your consciousness, telling you that thing is already there. Both of these quotes, these reminders are saying, if you have the desire within yourself, the fact that you have that desire is saying that you are capable of achieving and accomplishing it. There is nothing that will stop you from doing it except you. And we have to understand that when we're talking about desire or burning desire, we're talking about having a definite purpose, something that the mind is obsessed with that can be and do and attract all the ideas and feelings that are necessary to bring it to fruition. And whilst it's necessary to have a passion, we have to have a passion in the right way. And by that I mean that once we have this passion, it's what's going to drive us. You can have passion that can cause suffering, but we're using passion not for pleasure or to avoid pain, but to use passion to engage us, to encourage us, to excite us. Passion has this, it's like a compelling emotion that is an intense enthusiasm and pride. And it happens in the front part of the brain, in the amygdala, amygdala. It's the brainstem. It's where we have our most primitive and impulsive and instinctive behaviors. So once we have our desire, our definite purpose, that starts to clarify what is the direction, what is the reason we're doing it, how we are going to set about achieving it. It's our compass, it's our true north. Our definite purpose is what's going to guide and direct us, so that if we have the thoughts creeping in that stray from it, we can steer right back to what our true north, our definite purpose is. Once we know this, once we have our desire and we back it with definite purpose, we can activate our prefrontal cortex. And that's the part that initiates persistent and consistent action towards achieving our desire. So definiteness of purpose is the starting point of all successful achievement. If you reflect back on your life, on the things that didn't come to fruition, that failed, if you have an honest, deep dive introspection into it, you may perhaps see how you were double-minded. You thought it might be, but underneath you knew it quite wasn't right, but you were going to try nevertheless, and you were pushing on. Unless you know what you want in life. Actually, let me share this from what he actually says. Napoleon says, unless you know what you want in life and are determined to get it, you will be forced to accept from life the mere crumbs left by the more fortunate who knew what they were where they were going, and they had a plan for getting there. Your major responsibility right now is to find out what you desire in life, where you are going, and what you will do when you get there. This is one responsibility which no one but you can assume. But if you want to rise above mediocrity, you must remember that success begins through definitiveness of purpose. So I want to share a couple of sacred texts before we continue. The first is Psalm 437. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 21:2. You have given Him His heart's desire, and have not withheld the request of His lips. Habakkuk 2:2 says, then Adonai answered me. He said, write down the vision clearly on tablets so that even a runner can read it. And Swami Vivekananda, take up one idea. Make that one idea your life. Think of it, dream it, and live on that idea. Let the brain, muscles, nerves, every part of your body be full of that idea. And just leave every other idea alone. This is the way to success. That is the way great spiritual giants are produced. So, my beloved, here are a few suggestions as to how to begin this. First, get clarity. Write it down. Our sacred text from her book said, write your vision clearly. Get clear on whatever it is that you think is your definite purpose, your definitive purpose, your desire. As you're writing, you get clarity in your consciousness, in your head, in your mind, and you start to fine-tune what it is that you think you are desiring. You may find what you think, and as you start to write, it changes because you are getting greater insight. The second is, if you've written it down, you can hold yourself accountable. You can have a sense of accountability towards yourself because you have a tangible reminder of what you are working towards, what you are aiming for, what you are seeking to achieve, and this accountability can help you stay on track. I've shared with you many times in the past, some of the goals I failed to achieve is because I didn't write them down or I didn't have a sense of how I was going to achieve it or when I wanted to achieve it by. The third thing is that writing down your goals can help you remember them better. When you write them down, you are more likely to remember than if you just think about it. This can help you stay focused on achieving your desires and avoid distractions. We've all made shopping lists and then gone out without them. But the fact that we have written them down when we're in the shop, we're able to recall easily what it is we wanted. And 99% of the things that we had written down, we will remember and have put it in the basket. One of the things, especially as those of us that are a little bit more on the aging side, just slightly, is that we forget. I know I have something written down, and I actually have it next to my bed. And even to remember to pick it up and read it, I have forgotten. So I wholeheartedly suggest, wherever we are, there is so much going on, it's easy to overlook something if it's just being stored in our head, as opposed if we have something tangible to which we are looking at and looking to. So I came across something. It was a picture of a note that Bruce Lee, and I'm sure you're all familiar with Bruce Lee, the most incredible martial artist that ever was. And this was a note he wrote to himself in 1969. And he has on the top of it, it said, "My definite chief aim." Then he writes, "I, Bruce Lee, will be the first highest paid Oriental superstar in the United States. In return, I will give the most exciting performance and render the best of quality in the capacity of an actor. Starting 1970, I will achieve world fame, and from then onward till the end of 1980, I will have in my possession $10 million. I will live the way I please and achieve inner harmony and happiness." Those of us that are familiar with Bruce Lee know that truly he left a legacy to which his desire, his goal, his definite aim, his definitive purpose was manifested. My poem that I'd like to share with you is from Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, entitled A Psalm of Life. "Tell me not in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead that slumbers, all things are not what they seem. Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end or way, but to act that each tomorrow find us further than today. Art is long and time is fleeting, and our hearts though stout and brave, still like muffled drums are beating funeral marches to the grave. In the world's broad field of battle, in the bivouac of life, be not like dumb driven cattle, be a hero in the strife. Trust no future, however pleasant, let the dead past bury its dead. Act, act in the living present, heart within and God overhead. Lives of great men all remind us, we can make our lives sublime, and departing leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another, sailing over life's solemn main, a forlorn or shipwrecked brother, seeing, shall take heart again. Let us then be up and doing, with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait." This was taken from a book of poetry compiled by Napoleon Hill for Thinking and Grow Rich. A reminder that each of us is part of life's continuum, and we are here to make a contribution. So my story this morning is from Think and Grow Rich. And it says, "Little more than 30 years ago, Edwin C. Barnes discovered how true it is that men really do think and grow rich. His discovery did not come about at one sitting. It came little by little, beginning with a burning desire to become a business associate of the great Edison. One of the chief characteristics of Barnes' desire was that it was definite. He wanted to work with Edison, not for him. He presented himself at Mr. Edison's laboratory and announced he had come to go into business with the inventor. In speaking of the first meeting between Barnes and Edison years later, Mr. Edison said, "He stood there before me, looking like an ordinary tramp, but there was something in the expression of his face which conveyed the impression that he was determined to get what he had come after. I had learned from years of experience with men that when a man really desires a thing so deeply that he is willing to stake his entire future on a single turn of the wheel in order to get it, he is sure to win. I gave him the opportunity he asked for, excuse me, because I saw he had made up his mind to stand by until he succeeded. Subsequent events proved that no mistake was made." Barnes did not get his partnership with Edison on his first interview. He did get a chance to work in the Edison offices at a very nominal wage, doing work that was unimportant to Edison, but most important to Barnes. Months went by. Apparently nothing happened to bring the coveted goal which Barnes had set up in his mind as his definite major purpose. But something important was happening in Barnes's mind. He was constantly intensifying his desire to become the business associate of Edison. When the opportunity came, it appeared in a different form and from a different direction than Barnes had expected. That is one of the tricks of opportunity. It has a sly habit of slipping in by the back door, and often it comes disguised in the form of misfortune or temporary defeat. Perhaps this is why so many fail to recognize the opportunity. Mr. Edison had just perfected a new office device, known at that time as the Edison Dictating Machine, now the Ediphone. His salesmen were not enthusiastic over the machine, and they did not believe it could be sold without great effort. Barnes saw his opportunity. It had crawled in quietly, had in a queer-looking machine which interested no one but Barnes and the inventor. Barnes knew he could sell the Edison Dictating Machine. He suggested this to Edison and promptly got his chance. He did sell the machine. In fact, he sold it so successfully that Edison gave him a contract to distribute and market it all over the nation. Out of that business association grew the slogan, "Made by Edison and installed by Barnes." The business alliance has been in operation for over 30 years, and out of it, Barnes has made himself rich in money. Barnes literally thought himself into partnership with the great Edison. Sorry, I lost my place. He thought himself into a fortune. He had nothing to start with except the capacity to know what he wanted and the determination to stand by that desire until he realized it. He had no money to begin with. He had but little education. He had no influence. But he did have faith and the will to win. I think that's a clear demonstration of what it takes to achieve your definitive purpose. So my Science of Mind reading is entitled Step Out of Your Comfort Zone. The first quote is from Les Brown, who says, "We must look to be an active force in our own lives. We must take charge of our own destinies, design a life of substance, and truly begin to live our dreams." Our second quote, Ernest Holmes' Creative Mind. "Life is for today. There will be no change for tomorrow unless we do the changing for today. Today we are setting in motion the power of tomorrow. Today is God's day, and we must extract from it what of life we are to live." The author writes, "Several years ago, I read about an experiment where a small fish where small fish were prevented from swimming with bigger fish by a glass barrier. After a period of time, when the barrier was removed, the fish swam to where the glass had been, but never beyond it. They swam to their comfort zone. How many of us stay in our comfort zone, never venturing into the unknown? We have no limits in life except the ones we impose on ourselves. As George Eliot reminds us, it's never too late to be who you might have been. In the course of my ministry, I've come to believe that many of us are in painful places in our lives. People experience pain because they feel lost and at sea. They aren't sure where life is taking them. In a recent survey, 80% of respondents were unhappy with their lives. The 20% who were happy knew their life's purpose. The good news is, we have the power to change this. You and I are responsible for our lives. And when we see ourselves as one with spirit, we can begin to experience life as the powerful spiritual beings we are. We have the power to bring our dreams and desires into reality. When we know what we want in life, we need to move in that direction. And the power of the universe will partner with us. When we trust the inner voice that moves us in the direction of self-fulfillment, our lives take on new purpose. As Goethe wrote, when you finally trust yourself, you will know how to live. My beloveds, I cannot emphasize enough that the desire that you need to choose for yourself, the definitive purpose, is one that your soul requires. It isn't just necessarily getting or accumulating money. It can be about being your best self, that desire to be fearless, that desire to be. So as we go within now, on this morning's reflective affirmative meditation, take a moment to just be open, to feel into what the desire for your life at this time is. You may or may not receive it, or you may already know it, but just be open for whatever else needs to come through. And as always, if you haven't already closed your eyes, I invite you, as we bring the attention from the outer space into the inner space, into the kingdom within, where our teacher reminds us that the Father who sees and hears in secret will reward us openly. And always as we bring our attention to the breath, I like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, it is the Spirit of God that has made me. 'Tis the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. As we take the next 3 deep breaths in, let us be cognizant that we are breathing in the life-giving, energizing breath of the sacred. Inhale. Lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach. And breathe in the breath of God. Hold. Gently, slowly, please. Inhale. Gently, slowly release. For our third and final time, inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly release. This morning's reflective affirmative meditation is by Reverend Karen Fryer, entitled Living My Passion, My Purpose. Affirm. with definitive knowing that this is the truth in this moment, that I speak this affirmative prayer right here, right now. There is complete recognition, a deep awareness of the one life, one power, one presence, one love, that which is always, that which unfolds as perfection, moves as its highest potentiality, and its causal as divine purpose. Spirit moves as infinite intelligence, divine right action, and divine right order. Spirit is on purpose all the time as abundance, beauty, creativity, wholeness, peace, boundless love, and much more. As I know that this one life is me, I know that I am the I am. I am individualized expression, fully orbed as abundance, beauty, creativity, wholeness, infinite intelligence, and boundless love. I live, move, and have my being as this divine expression. I speak the ultimate word for me right here and right now. I confidently declare and claim that I unfold my highest potentiality and purpose. I am in the flow of my passion. Everything that lights me up brings me joy and makes my heart sing from the rooftops. This is the truth and reality of my life right now, as I constantly move in the direction of my passion and purpose. I am fully supported, protected, and prospered in limitless ways. As I stake this claim and declare wholeheartedly, I live the life of my passion and purpose. The universal law responds unabashedly. It is in great expectancy and gratitude that I release these words in joy, knowing all of this is so, and so it is. Take a deep breath in as you allow those powerful words to resonate within your being. And as we enter into our circle of prayer, as always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that is in need of prayer at this time, because we know that the divine intelligence, the Spirit of God, is everywhere present at every point in space and time. Divine beloved Mother, Father, God, as we consciously come into communion with you this morning, knowing the truly desire of our hearts is you already tapping at the door of our consciousness, reminding us that we are more than able and capable of achieving that which we are desiring. For you who are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think, can only work for us, through us, and as we release the fears, the doubts, the worries, the thoughts of inadequacies or insufficiencies and allow your spirit to move, we can achieve great things. As we allow the desire to do, to be, to express, heightens within us, magnifies and amplifies within us, we are able to attract all that is necessary. As we begin our new endeavors, trusting in you to bring the right people, the right situations, the right circumstances to grow, to prosper, to bless us, we only have to keep our eyes single on what our desire is, what our definite purpose is, and allow you to do the rest. As we write it down so that we get clarity, so that we hold ourselves accountable, and so that we can remember it. We are never too old, and it's never too late to be what we might be, what you created us to be as expressions of you. Unlimited, unfettered, unchained, free children of the Most High God. Mother, Father, God, as we heighten and get clarity on our definitive purpose, on our desire, let us fuel it with the passion of love and expectancy and trust and faith. Divine beloved, Mother, Father, God, at this time, there is so much happening in our world. So much conflict, so much anguish, so much greed, so much fear, so much man's inhumanity's treatment of his fellow man and fellow creatures, that I do not even know where to begin. But our teacher said that we were to be in the world, but not of it. So as I bring all of our world's needs, all of humanity's needs, every sentient being's needs into the circle of prayer, I speak the word for peace, the word for acceptance, the word of justice, the word of love, the word of brotherhood and sisterhood. I hold in my heart and my consciousness a world that is unified and not divided, a world that works for all of your creation. And even though it is challenging to hold an image, I know that it is already done in you. Mother, Father, God, for all the needs that we have for the healings of our minds, our bodies, our spirits. You know what we have need of even before we have need of it. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever grateful. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phones for our morning affirmations and Buddhist reflections. Our science of mind affirmation. Repeat after me. Today, I step out of my comfort zone.
I step out of my comfort zone.
I trust that spirit
will be beside me wherever I go.
Whatever I do. I live a life with no limits. I am free. Our Buddhist reflections. If anyone has hurt or harmed me,
If anyone hurt her heart,
knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word, or deed, I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone knowingly or unknowingly,
If I hurt or harm anyone knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed,
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe, contented and at peace.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
Those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. I am human in expression.
Divine in creation.
Limitless in potentiality. I am the light of God within and without. Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without. Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without. Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without. Eternal and unceasingly. Our
rumination
for this week, Rumi says, love said to me, there is nothing that is not me. Be silent. My closing benediction, let the grace and the word of life rest upon you, the love of the source of life embrace you, and the transforming power of the breath of life help, strengthen, and surprise you this day and all your days. My beloved, my closing song is from Fearless Soul, entitled Before It's Over. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Fearless Forum, Before It's Over. My beloved, enjoy our bank holiday. Until next Sunday, peace and blessings.